Hello there, everybody. Welcome to the All-Star Break returning edition of Locked On Grizzlies. My name is Peter Edmiston. Thank you for hopefully enjoying that break as I did and sticking with us here as now back for the stretch run, whatever that means for the Grizzlies. And believe me, it could mean any number of different things. We'll get into some of that later on. Very busy podcast over the next few minutes because there's a lot of things that we're going to touch on here. Not going to get too deeply into any of it because, quite honestly, there's plenty of time to get into all this stuff very deeply. Draft stuff, certainly. Tank stuff, certainly. Ownership stuff, definitely. We're going to get into all of it a little bit, and we're going to get into it a lot more, of course, over the next weeks and months. A lot of you have asked me about draft stuff already and about scouting reports and all that cool stuff that we're going to do. Definitely going to be involved in a lot of that. I've spent a good deal of the break actually going through, watching video, taking some notes, getting my my stuff ready for all those episodes. They will be upcoming, I can promise you. But we'll let it kind of settle in a little bit and see where things look, where the Grizzlies look like towards the end of the season, and then we'll have plenty of time between then and the draft to go into all of that. Of course, Grizzlies back in action tomorrow night against, well, you know, just LeBron James and the new-look Cleveland Cavaliers, who have been, at least in the very small sample size we saw prior to the All-Star break, extremely good, looking much more entertaining, much more dangerous, much more lively, much more interested. That is bad news if you want the Grizzlies to win, but it's good news if you, like me, think the Grizzlies should lose. So we'll talk about that a little bit towards the end of the podcast. Now, the tank race is getting very, very, very serious. We kind of thought that it would settle in this way. You would have the tank race. We know, as it stands right now, teams getting back in action tonight and really getting back into action in earnest tomorrow. This is as intense of a tank race as you are ever going to have. It is going to get stupid, and I mean real stupid. And in fact, we've already seen that it's getting real, real stupid because two teams right there in the mix with the Grizzlies, tank-wise, are already making waves. The Chicago Bulls and the Dallas Mavericks. First of all, the Bulls, to me, fired the first salvo in the tank race. Really getting after it by announcing that they are going to start David Nwaba and Cristiano Feliciano. Not Cristio Feliciano, not Jose Feliciano, Cristiano Feliciano and David Nwaba for the foreseeable future, and they will get heavy minutes. Boom! Bulls obviously reeling from the fact that they are 20-37, which puts them a full three games back of Phoenix and Atlanta at the bottom slash top of the standings here. They know that this is going to get really, really serious. There are seven teams, Phoenix, Atlanta, Dallas, Orlando, Sacramento, Memphis, Brooklyn, who all have fewer wins than they do. That just won't stand. So they are going from eighth and trying to aggressively say, maybe we don't even want to win another game. Maybe we can finish the season on a 25-game losing streak. Well, they've taken steps in that direction. That is the more conventional approach to the tank, and they are pulling that off with aplomb, if that's indeed the way they're going to run the rest of the way. So now all the gauntlet has been laid down. That's what you have to do. And Mark Cuban, who has had a very bad week, part of that bad week has come from his fine by the NBA. The NBA has fined him $600,000, quite a lot to you and me, not as much to Mark Cuban, but a pretty significant fine, for comments that he made on Dr. J's podcast, Locked On Dr. J. Is that what it's called? That's probably what it's called, right? I haven't really looked into it, but I bet that's what it's called. Mark Cuban essentially told the story that he wanted his players to lose and that he encouraged them and he talked to them and said, hey, look, guys, it's a one-year deal. We're not going to be tanking all the time, but this year it just makes more sense for us to lose. So, you know, go out there and just know that. I don't know that he essentially told them to lose and throw games, but he made it clear that they should be thinking about losing. It's a very fine line between doing what the Bulls are doing, which is starting unheralded, not so good, very young, raw type players. I like both those guys, Feliciano and Nwaba, but just, you know, they're not going to be contributors to winning at this point in their careers. I like them both in a limited role. But that's the norm. You know, you start those guys, you play them 30 minutes, you get the double bonus of losing games and theoretically letting them develop to some extent and seeing what you have in those pieces. What you don't tell them is to go out and lose games. What you don't say is, hey, you know, Cristiano, make sure you dribble it off your foot a few times. Hey, David, go miss a couple shots, if you would. Miss some layups. Make sure we don't win. You don't have to say that in those situations because they're not going to win. They just aren't. So you don't have to worry about it. That's the institutional tanking that you're used to seeing and that everyone is, I won't say comfortable with, but everyone is familiar with, and everyone more or less accepts as a cost of doing business in this situation. But because the tank race is so competitive right now, because there is such a big glut of teams that are all in that same frame of mind, it starts to force you to do some things a little more aggressively, a little differently. This is what John Hollinger was talking about in the interview that I did with him a couple weeks back here on the podcast about teams being, you know, he had to kind of be careful with what he said because he didn't want to get fined $600,000 like Dr. J did. But he said essentially teams are going to do stuff we're not really comfortable with. They, as an organization, don't want to encourage their guys to lose. You don't want to get a losing mentality in your players. It's not good for competition, even though that's technically the right thing to do overall, losing games. You don't want your guys to actually go out and try to lose those games. He knew that the Grizzlies were probably going to take a more long-term approach and start some guys that are, you know, you probably see a lot of minutes for Ivan Rabb and Deontay Davis and those guys, maybe even Bryce Johnson or something like that. I don't know. But you're going to see more, maybe Kobe Simmons can get, you know, a look at some point on the big squad, maybe, you know, whatever. They're Mike Henry, who knows? There's lots of different things you could theoretically do. And you could lose those games, but you could still lose them while developing those guys and trying to get a feel for who's going to be good down the line, who's going to be good next year, who's going to be good year after that, who has potential and who's a guy that you can afford to move on from. The Grizzlies have a glut of guys, particularly young bigs, that they're going to have to get a pecking order, figure out who's really going to be worth that development time, who's worth those minutes, and who isn't. When do you move forward? So you can help answer those questions and lose games. You don't encourage your team to lose. And that is a sacrosanct deal because that affects everything. Not only does that affect your mentality of your team, but it affects the rest of the league. Teams that are playing the Mavericks now, if they know the Mavericks don't want to win these games, then you can rest guys. You can give guys time off. You can try all kinds of new things. You know that this team that you're playing is not treating it seriously. You also affect the integrity of the games as a whole. I mean, it's just you open up a real can of worms that's very difficult to deal with. That's why the league came down so quickly and so harshly. But again, this is the mentality. Even if Mark Cuban, who certainly has a lot on his plate, even if he comes out and apologizes and says, I shouldn't have said that, whatever, you know that's the mentality. There's nothing he can do. You can't unring that bell. Players know that. Coaches know that. Everyone knows that organizationally, everyone's okay with doing whatever it takes to lose these games. So they are in the mix. Now, Chicago, who knows what happens? You know Orlando, Sacramento, Phoenix, Atlanta. You know they're going to be down in that department. You know that. You know, try though they might, Brooklyn, they've lost 7 straight. They're going to be in that mix. They're just not very good. So even though that pick goes to Cleveland, and they're not going to try to lose these games, they're actually going to try to win. They're not going to be able to because they don't have enough talent. It's going to be very hard for the Grizzlies to guarantee that they're going to be in the mix for those top 3 picks. I mean, they're going to end up likely having a percentage of, you know, somewhere between 5 and 15%. That's where if you end up in spots 7 through 10, if you end up somewhere in that neighborhood, then that's kind of where that's your likelihood of jumping up to the top 3 and a very low likelihood of jumping up to the number 1 spot. But I think Grizzly fans kind of have to come to grips with the reality of the situation. This is just an incredibly competitive tank race, and I don't know that the Grizzlies are going to be able to tank enough. We'll find out. They're going to be all those games that you play against the teams that you are tanking against are the ones that are going to be critical. I mean, that's, you know, it's really tough when the Grizzlies lost to Atlanta the way they did. That was a big tank win slash loss. You know, and there are going to be plenty more of those in March and April that are going to be really ugly and, I don't know, kind of, in a way, compelling because they're so weird and so opposite of what you would expect. And I just don't know if the Grizzlies can get where they need to get in that situation. One guy that a lot of people thought the Grizzlies would take a look at is Troy Williams. Of course, he started with the Grizzlies. He, you know, made his way onto the roster last year in a bit of an upset because of how well he had done, but then had to be cut because of, you know, point guard needs and because of roster situations. The Grizzlies, you know, let him go. He was picked up by Houston, stayed with Houston for a while, but Houston, because of similar point guard situations, because of their roster needs, they cut him. And a lot of Grizzly fans thought he would be a candidate to be picked up. The Grizzlies do have a roster spot, having bought out Brandon Wright, but they either chose not to, or he chose to go somewhere else. He goes to the New York Knicks, who are probably going to be in the midst of this tanking situation as well. They've got 23 wins, but they've lost 8 straight, and they are going to be starting and playing Emmanuel Mudiay and lots of very young guys, probably quite a few minutes. All of that will give Troy Williams a chance to once again show what he's capable of, and I think the guy's capable of being a good player. There were a lot of things to really like about what he gave the Grizzlies. Good size, length, excellent motor, a lot of raw skills. So hopefully he'll play, and I wish the best. He was a very nice guy when he was here too. So scratch that off the list of potential former Grizzlies fan favorites who may come back. I'm afraid that won't be Troy Williams. We mentioned the tank race being what it is. The Grizzlies, technically right now, if you were to go through it, the Grizzlies are in 6th spot by 1/1000th of a percentage over Cleveland / Brooklyn. That obviously is going to change quite a bit over the course of the next 2 months. Jonathan Givony of Draft Express and now ESPN did a mock draft. And I would encourage everyone. I mean, there's lots of great mock drafts out there. But I always look at Givony and Mike Schmitz and, you know, what they do at Draft Express as the gold standard, because they've been doing it for so long. They actually have contacts and talk to league people all the time. They actually go and scout in person from high school all the way through up through college and into the pro ranks. They go internationally. A lot of other mock drafts just throw names out there, don't necessarily do their own intel on these guys or crib off of the great, you know, edits that Mike Schmitz and those guys do. So Draft Express to me is the gold standard. And when they talk, I listen. They have the Grizzlies picking 7th in their most recent mock draft earlier this week. And that gives the Grizzlies Trae Young, a very controversial figure. As I said, I'm not going to get into the scouting report or anything like that, but I was very intrigued when I talked about that and I tweeted about that. I talked about it on my radio show on Sports 56, 87.7 FM, and when I tweeted about it, the response from Grizzly fans is so polarized. It's really amazing. You have a lot of people who are absolutely in love with the pick. I tend to be in that category. Who love the kid, love what he can do, love the star power, potential, shooting, etc. But then you have another group, relatively sizable group by the look of it, that says, now he's a chucker, he's going to be a bust, all he does is shoot, he's going to miss a ton of shots, he can't get his own looks, he's just destined to be another bust. And, I mean, they're very strong opinions on both sides of that. I think he'd be a fascinating pick. I would love him for the Grizzlies. You know, irrespective of development, all that stuff, that's out of my hands. I'm just saying in terms of the player, that you could get the best player possible. That's, at that spot, given the rest of the board who's available, I would take Trae Young in a heartbeat. And I'd be thrilled if the Grizzlies ended up with Trae Young. As I said, without getting into all the details of the scouting, I have been looking, actually, as part of this, because I just kind of have a feeling I don't know. One of those feelings the Grizzlies end up with Trae Young. Just a feel. But I've been looking a lot, actually, at the old Steph Curry, Davidson tape, gone back and watched some of his old games as a sophomore and as a junior. And, you know, because that's the obvious comparison is Trae Young and Steph Curry. And there are a lot of similarities, actually, statistically, and if you watch them play, there's a lot of similarities. Now, there are some key differences, too. But I was surprised. So we'll talk more about those findings later on as we approach the draft. But that's part of the note process and going through. But I just found the response interesting. And you feel free to get back at me on Twitter, at Peter Edmiston, or via email, pedmiston@gmail.com. Let me know what you think. Would love to hear from you because it was a really interesting, like, ran the gamut from extreme excitement to extreme disappointment. And a lot of people, you know, somewhere in between. So quite a spectrum of responses to Trae Young potentially going to the Grizzlies. I'm still a fan of Luka Doncic. Jaren Jackson is rapidly shooting up my draft board. I love that kid and what he can do. I think a very potentially special NBA player. Hope Michael Porter is able to come back this weekend. For those of you that don't follow college, he plays for, or theoretically plays for Missouri, hasn't played because of a back issue, but the rumor is that he may be back this weekend to play against Kentucky and some more draft prospects there. Would be a very good sign, would be very helpful for NBA evaluation purposes, not even just what he does, but just the fact that he could play would be very beneficial because a lot of people will tell you, talent-wise, he is as good or better than anybody else in this draft. Marvin Bagley's been hurt, and Duke has played well, which is an interesting turn of events. And I don't know what that necessarily says, but it is something. DeAndre Ayton is still doing his thing in Arizona. Mo Bamba, another polarizing prospect. So a lot of real and some other guys that are kind of starting to poke their heads into the discussions, like Mikal Bridges, Colin Sexton. These guys that are really good players and maybe any other year would be a little higher up on the list, but you got a very well-defined top tier this year in the draft. Like I said, lots more draft stuff coming your way later on. Robert Pera also in the news and his company Ubiquity in the news. And while I don't want to turn Locked On Grizzlies into Locked On Finances, it is an interesting development to see Ubiquity stock plummet earlier this week. It's down now over the course of the week about 20-some-odd percent from the beginning of the week based on the fact that they revealed in a mandated filing that they have been subpoenaed, many people associated with the company documents, records, people subpoenaed by the SEC in an investigation, very wide-ranging investigation, it would appear, into how they do business. And they've had a lot of issues. Obviously, you remember the story from back in September of the activist investor short seller who labeled him a fraud and went on this entire rant about how the company was going to be eventually found out and all this. You pair that up with this and, some questionable dealings that they've had in involving, a former CFO and the fact that Robert Pera has a very unusual management style. Some people rub the wrong way. And it forces them to target Robert Pera in some ways. I don't know. I'm not a financial guy. I don't know the ins and outs of all of that. I couldn't tell you whether it's unusual, usual. I don't do stocks. I don't do technology company work. So I don't know. I do know it's not good when your company is being subpoenaed, publicly revealing all that stuff. I know that's not good. That I can tell you. And I know that certainly in the midst of a potential deal that's being worked out or discussed or in some way being dealt with involving the buy and sell, the buy-sell option, Steve Kaplan, Daniel Strauss, that group, and Robert Pera, Robert Pera's money flow will affect that situation. Grizzlies were valued by Forbes at just over $1 billion. I don't know that really has much bearing on this. I do know that typically sale prices of late have been a good bit over the Forbes value. So most recent one being Houston was, I think, 125% of the Forbes value, something like that. So if that were the case, then that would put the Grizzlies' sale price at 1.25 in that neighborhood. maybe more than that. They're working on that potential buy-sell. We've talked about it before. To the extent that this affects Robert Parrish's cash flow or his ability to potentially buy out Steve Kaplan, because that option has been exercised. So it's one of two things. Parrish's going to buy out Kaplan or Kaplan's going to buy out Parrish. To the extent that that affects Kaplan's ability or Parrish's ability to buy out Kaplan, then this could affect that whole situation. And that may well be. I don't know about his access to liquidity and how that – I don't know. All that's beyond my purview. But just bearing that stuff in mind while you think about the stewardship of the team, it's not a good situation. You don't want your owner to have messy business on the other side while he's also trying to deal with your team. Not a great situation at all. Still better than what's happening in Dallas, of course. I mentioned Mark Cuban getting fined by the league $600,000. What I did not get into was the other stuff. Sports Illustrated, in a really detailed, months-long investigative piece that was well-written and really laid out tremendous evidence and stories, some on the record, some off the record, some sources named, some sources not. But it details a culture within the Dallas Mavericks organization that's completely unacceptable, hostile to women, the situation involving Earl Sneed, writer for Mavs.com, who was twice convicted of domestic assault, who has beaten up women, for Mark Cuban to keep him on. He made the decision to keep him on, claiming first ignorance of the situation, then saying he kept him on to save him from other people or other companies, giving him the benefit of the doubt while also endangering the women in his workplace. Then you have the situation with the CEO of the Mavericks, Tadema Useri, who routinely, reportedly, and according to many different accounts, was harassing, said and did harassing things, intimidated, touched inappropriately women in the workplace, was there for 20 years, left, went to Under Armour and lasted 2 months and was apparently dismissed in some form or fashion for similar complaints about sexual harassment. Not a great look for the Mavericks that he would last 20 years there and lasted 2 months at Under Armour. Mark Cuban's involvement in all this, that's a matter of some debate. For what it's worth, personally, I find him responsible for a lot of the creation of that culture, either from knowing about it and not actively stopping it, or, in my mind, as bad, just choosing not to know about it for a guy that is a micromanager in every other facet of his company. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me that a guy that would be so intimately involved in TV broadcasts, and, you know, our friend Pete Pranica, voice of the Grizzlies, you know, responded to me on Twitter and talked about, you know, how intimately involved Mark Cuban was in the details of TV production. If Mark Cuban is involved in TV production, if he's involved in credentials being given out, if he's involved in personally hiring Earl Sneed off an email to his personal email account, why in the world wouldn't he know about the stuff that goes on in the workplace? And if he did know about it and he didn't do anything about it, that's a serious, serious problem. So the NBA is monitoring this. The Mavs, for their part, have said they're going to have an independent investigation from a law firm that they are hiring. How independent an investigation being done on you by someone you're paying for is certainly a matter of quite a bit of debate, but that's the setup right now. The NBA is monitoring it, and I think the NBA, in my mind, should investigate themselves, should get in there and investigate, do their own independent investigation, because if they're serious about actually wanting to be inclusive, they've taken great steps to be progressive in the workplace, to promote gender equality, to promote racial equality. If they're truly trying to do that stuff, then they're going to have to aggressively root this out. You cannot have this at one of your most prominent teams looking like, you know, Animal House. You just can't have it. They need to be aggressive in rooting it out. Whether they will or not will be an interesting test of Adam Silver. When it came to Donald Sterling in his race, the racism, the racially horrifying comments that he made, the stories, the things that he had done, Silver, who had just come onto the job, And I remember distinctively, he was right there in Memphis, actually, at FedEx Forum in the old press conference room, making his, because he happened to be in Memphis for the game, the playoff game that night, and he was making all the comments and all of the initial discussion after all this came out. This was a Saturday, as I recall, and he was right there in the middle of all of it, very aggressively promising to root this out. That's one aspect of it. I think he received almost universal acclaim for what he did there. Now what do you do when it's Mark Cuban, when it's a situation that is involving women in the workplace rather than racial discrimination, it involves domestic abuse, assault, it involves inappropriate workplace environment, it involves inappropriate touching, inappropriate comments. What will he do then, and to what extent is Mark Cuban responsible for all that? Difficult questions to ask, but one the NBA better ask and ask aggressively and be aggressive in finding answers to. Keep an eye on it. We'll see. Tomorrow night, as I mentioned, the Grizzlies take on the Cleveland Cavaliers. More about that on tomorrow's edition of the podcast, but looking forward to at least being back in action and seeing some actual games, even if the games aren't super competitive, even if the games are farcical at times. I'm just glad that basketball is back. I enjoyed the All-Star game. I enjoyed the break, but I'm glad to be back with you. Let me know what you think at Peter Edmiston on Twitter, pedmiston@gmail.com. Lots to get to, and we'll continue to do it here. Thanks so much for listening to Locked On Grizzlies.